If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I encourage you to follow in the scriptures. We'll be looking at about eight or nine scriptures from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. There are Bibles on the pews. If you don't have your own Bible, but please follow along in the Word of God as we try to read and study from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we're thankful that Thou hast been so good to every one of us. We cannot begin to thank You enough for all the blessings that we have. And though we are through with that season that we call Thanksgiving and we're entering into another season, we pray, Lord, that we might never leave that season of thanksgiving in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls, that every day and in everything that we would give thanks, that we would realize and remember that every day You load us with benefits and blessings. Lord, we thank You for the help that we have to be able to be in the house of God. We thank You for every person that's here today. We pray that You would bless us all as we come, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God, that Thou would teach us and instruct us, that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground that would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray, Lord, that You would bless those that are less fortunate than we are, those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that You would touch their bodies and help them and lift them up and restore them to their health, and that You would help us to know what we can do to help them. We pray that You would bless all those who stand in special need of Thy help. We pray that You would bless all those with cancer and other serious problems. You would be with them and their families, that You would give them the strength and grace that they need. Again now, we pray Thy blessings upon all those who are in authority over us. We pray that You would give us, as we enter into a time of choosing a new president, we pray that You would guide and direct, and that You would send a man of Your choosing, a man that will not compromise, a man that will stand on all the principles of Thy holy word. Lord, give us such a man as that to lead our nation. And we pray that You would cause the people to realize how desperately we need Your help. And in order to have Your help, that we must return unto Thee with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us, Lord, to realize each of our responsibilities to serve Thee every day of our lives. Help us to all remember the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while, so help us to live each day as if it's our last. Again, now, bless every individual that's here, and each family that's represented, all of those that are upon our prayer list, and those who stand in special need of Thy help, bless each one, and help us now as we study Thy holy word. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come now asking You to fill us all with Thy Spirit, that we might hear, understand, believe, and obey Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Matthew chapter 14. Most of you who are familiar with Matthew chapter 14 know that the first 12 verses are talking about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist stood up for what was right. John the Baptist was beheaded. We're going to begin right after that passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says in Matthew 14, verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, that is, that John the Baptist had been beheaded for telling Herod he could not have his brother's wife, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, that is, when they had heard that Jesus was in that desert place, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Let me just first say, and I know that we mentioned this sometime recently, but there are so many times the Word of God says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And every time that Jesus was moved with compassion, He did something for people. And all of us, if we're going to be a Christian, then we're going to be moved with compassion. We're going to be doing things to help people who stand in special need of help. So Jesus was moved with compassion, and then he healed their sick. Verse 15, listen very carefully to verses 15 through 21. This is the main thought that's upon my heart. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 15, the Word of God says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals,'" that is, buy themselves food. Verse 16, "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.'" What would you have done if you had been there? Jesus said, "Give them something to eat." What would you have done? Probably would have done exactly what they did. You'd have looked around to see if there's anything that you can give them to eat. You know that we don't have anything. You've already looked. That's the reason you said, "Send them away." You told Jesus, "Send them away so they can go buy their own food." And now the Scripture says, "Bring them hither." Well, listen to verse 17. "And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we have. That's not enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. That's all we have. We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 18 says, "He said, "Bring them hither to me." That is, bring me the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 19 says, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Now, I want us to, this morning, I want us to think about the fact that the apostles, and these were the closest men to Jesus Christ. These were men who knew more about the power of God than anyone else at this time on earth. And those apostles, when Jesus said that they needed to feed them, that they should feed them, they said, "We don't have anything but what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I think that there is a lesson there for every one of us, that sometimes when we look at what we have, when we face problems, did they have a big problem there? Do you think the apostles, and do you think that they had a problem? You try to feed 5,000 people. If all of a sudden everybody in church says, "We're going to go home with you today and eat lunch with you," what are you going to do? You're probably going to panic. You're going to be upset. You're going to wonder, "What are we going to do?" Listen, brethren, in our lives, every day, you face problems that are like this. There are problems that are too big for you to know how to handle. There are problems that you, by yourself, you cannot handle. But the problem that the apostles had is that they underestimated what God would do with the little amount that they had. I think it's important that every one of us recognize how little we are. It's important that I recognize that without Christ, I can do what? Nothing. That's important for me to remember. That without Christ, I can do nothing. And it was important for those apostles to see and realize all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. But it was also important for them to understand and remember that Jesus was with them. And if Jesus was with them, they should not have been complaining about how little they had, because they had everything they needed if Jesus was with them. And I pray that God will bless every one of us this morning to realize that you need not underestimate how little you have. You don't need to underestimate your abilities. You don't need to underestimate what God has given you. You don't need to underestimate what you can do with what God has given you. Because the fact is that whatever God has given you, if God will be with you, it will more than supply everything that needs to be done in your life. And I know there are some of you that face big problems in your life, but I just want all of you to understand that you better not underestimate. You better stop underestimating what with God's help what you can do. The apostles underestimated what they had. What did they have? Again, I just want you to remember, all they had, that's what their statement is. Look at their statement in verse 17. They said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can't you just hear them murmuring and complaining? That's all we have. We can't do anything. That's all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever felt that in your life? I just don't know what to do. I don't have the ability to deal with the problems that I'm facing right now in my life. I don't have the power to fix this problem. I don't have the gift. I don't have... All I've got is... And you talk about what little amount you have. And when you do that, you are... You might say you're overstating your poverty or you're underestimating the amount that you really have. Isn't that right? Don't we sometimes overstate how weak we are? Sometimes we just act like we don't have any strength. Well, brethren, by ourselves, we don't have any strength. But the problem is we forget that Jesus is able to take that little bit that we have and bless it beyond measure. You remember when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel? What did he say? Did he say something similar to what these apostles said right here when he said, all we've got is what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's what the apostles said. What did Moses say when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel? What did he say? Well, I'm just a man of slow speech. I can't. That's all I've got is just a slow tongue. What did Moses forget? He forgot the same thing the apostles forgot. It is a common problem in God's Word and something that all of us have a problem with, and that is we underestimate what we can do with what God has given us. Under the blessings of God, we can do far greater than what we're doing. In fact, under the blessings of God, there is no problem that you face that you can't overcome that problem. This was a real problem here. It was a real problem. It was not something that was not a problem. It was a problem that by themselves, without Christ, they could not fix the problem. But with Christ's help, they could fix it. And with Christ's help, you can face and overcome every obstacle in your life. By the grace of God, you can do what needs to be done. Moses said, I'm a man of slow speech. I can't do anything. What did God do? God took Moses and blessed Moses to lead the children of Israel. He blessed him in a miraculous way. You remember Isaiah? Let's just talk about the tongue a minute. Do you ever think you don't have the ability to speak and say things that you need to be saying when you're talking to other people about God? Have you ever felt like you just didn't have the ability to talk to somebody about Christ? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you didn't know enough about God's Word to talk to them about the beauty of God's Word? Have you ever felt like, well, all I've got... I remember the first time I started studying the Bible, really starting studying. I was about 17 or 18 years old, and the first verse I started studying and really rejoiced in was Matthew 7:21, where the Word of God says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That was the only scripture I knew. I mean, I memorized it because I rejoiced in it, but that was the only scripture I knew. And I thought, well, that's all I know. And did you know that the next day somebody came to me and said, Billy, can you explain this verse of scripture? Now, my mouth just fell open. It was the only verse of scripture that I knew anything about. It was the only thing I knew, and yet God opened my eyes to the fact that whatever one thing you know, whatever little bit you know, God can take that truth and bless it and use people to come and ask you about that one thing. My point is, don't underestimate what your ability and your powers are. If God will be with you and God will help you and God will bless you, there is no problem you face that you can't handle. Moses thought he couldn't handle it. Isaiah. What about Isaiah? What about Isaiah's tongue? Now Moses said he had a slow tongue. And I didn't think about all this till last night. I thought about all this last night. I thought about Moses said he had a slow tongue. What did Isaiah say he had? I'm a man of what? I have an unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. My tongue is filthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And what did God then do? What was Isaiah basically saying right there? What was he saying? He said, I can't say anything. I can't talk about God. I can't talk about the glory of God. I can't describe the majesty of God. He had just seen the glory of God. And he said, I'm just a man of unclean lips. I can't talk about how great God is. But you know what God did? God sent a coal down and touched his lips, and then what happened? And then he said, now I can go, send me. Listen, brethren, whatever your shortcomings are, whatever your inabilities are, I want you to understand that God, just like he took those five loaves and two fishes, and when God blessed that, it was sufficient for all the need out there. Likewise with Moses, when he was a man of slow tongue, when God touched his tongue, he could speak and do everything he needed to do. When God touched Isaiah's tongue, he could speak and declare the glory of God. And then you think about Peter. I thought about Peter last night. Peter was a man of, was he a smart man? Did he have a fluent tongue like the Apostle Paul?
No.
One of the statements they often made about Peter is he was a what?
Unlearned.
He was an unlearned man. He had an unlearned tongue. Ignorant. Probably didn't know English very well, did he? He didn't know English at all. But he probably didn't know the language he spoke very well. But listen, brethren, when God blessed Peter's tongue, Peter could preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. One of the worst educated men I've ever known was Elder T.L. Crumpton. By worst educated, I'm talking about the least education as far as formal education is concerned. He only went to the third grade in school. Only went to the third grade. I've got a book that he wrote, and I would encourage you to, I'll give you a copy of that book. I want all of you to understand that man with a third grade education, I watched him stand in the presence of preachers that had master's degrees and higher degrees, and he could, every time, I never saw anybody that could refute him on any truth in God's Word. He had great power and ability and boldness to speak the Word of God. Do you know why? Listen, brethren, he would tell you that to begin with, he thought he couldn't do anything because he didn't have any education. But what did God teach him? You're underestimating. You're underestimating what you can do with the blessings of God upon you. And we all, I believe every one of us here, I'm not talking about everybody being a preacher, but I am talking about every one of you. You face problems every day. You face obstacles every day. This didn't have anything to do with preaching, did it? Right here at the five loaves and two fishes. Didn't have anything to do with preaching. But listen, brethren, God can take a little and make it much. I believe it's the book of Zechariah says, who hath despised the day of what? That's right. Who hath despised the day of small things? Have you ever despised yourself and thought, I can't do anything? Is there anybody here that feels like that you're weak? Is there anybody here that feels like that you can't do something? Is there any problem that you face that you think, I just can't deal with this problem? I'm telling you that to say that is to say the same thing these apostles said. All we've got is five loaves and two fishes. You're discounting what God can do. And that's what I want us to all understand this morning, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Did God bless those five loaves and two fish? He fed the 5,000 men, and besides women and children, they had plenty left over, didn't they? God can take what little bit you have under the blessings of God. You can overcome your problems and you can do many things that you don't think you're able to do by the grace of God and with the help of God. Who maketh thee to differ from another? It's God that makes you to differ. What do you do when you face problems that you don't know how to face? What do you do? Just think a minute. I just want somebody to tell me. I just want you to think just a minute. Every one of you, just try to think of some kind of problem that you have. Some kind of problem that you have, and you think you don't know what to do with that problem. You don't know how to handle the problem. I want you to tell me. I don't want you to tell me pray. I want you to tell me, how do you typically react when you face some big problem? I'm not talking about the right way to react. I'm asking you, how do you wrong? Give me a wrong way you react. Who said that? Who said run? Didn't somebody say run? How many of you ever run from problems? Isn't that what we sometimes do? We run from problems. So many times, God's people, when they face problems, they run from problems. Isn't that true? Have you ever run from a problem? Is there anybody here that hasn't run from a problem? Is there anybody here that probably is not right now running from problems? I'm telling you, brethren, Jonah, when he was given a job to do, to arise and go to Nineveh, you remember that? God said, arise and go to Nineveh. Was it too big a project for him to do? Did he think? Now listen, let me rephrase the question. Was it too big a project for him to do by himself? Was it something that he knew if he went into Nineveh and started preaching to those wicked people that they would kill him? Is that what he was afraid of? That's what he was afraid of. He knew he couldn't do it. So what did Jonah do? He ran. The Bible says he fled to Tarshish. He ran away from the problem. Don't we all sometimes run away from the problem instead of facing the problem? What will keep you running from your problems? What will help you to stop running from your problems? It's face the problems with what? Face the problems with what? With God. That's right. Face the problems with God's help. You call upon the Lord. You ask the Lord, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I know that even though all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I know you can help me and bless me. I know that even though I have a slow tongue, I know that even though I have a tongue that's unclean, I know that even though I have an unlearned tongue, I know that you can bless. I know that under the blessings and the power of God, I can face this problem and have more than sufficient grace to overcome the problem. The idea that we can't do something is a doctrine of the devil. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. What's something else we do besides running? Tell me something else we do instead of running. Somebody tell me another way that... Let me give you an example. I was interviewing for an assistant to me one time in the field of education, and one of the questions that I posed to people was, what do you do under pressure? And this one, and everybody talked about that, you know, they did this, they did that. And this one guy that came in, I said, what do you do under pressure? He said, I fold every time. Fold every time. He said, I just fall apart. He said, I just can't handle pressure. Some people are like that, aren't they? They just fold up under pressure. They just fall apart. You remember when Elisha and his servant were out there, and you remember the Syrian army was facing them? And what did Elisha's servant do? Elisha's servant said, alas, master, what are we going to do? Was he panicking? Was he falling apart? Was he crumbling under the pressure? Did he think, I've got a problem too big to face? What did Elisha do? Did Elisha pray for God to give him strength? No. What did Elisha do? Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Help him to see the power of God. Help him to see the chariots of fire. Help him to see the army of God that's round about us. Now I'll tell you, brethren, one thing we need to pray for every one of each other is pray, God, open their eyes. Help them to see, though they might say, all I've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All I've got is a slow tongue. All I've got, you just fill in the blank with whatever little thing you think you have. I want you to understand, if your eyes are open, you're going to see that you have sufficient grace in Christ Jesus to face your problems and overcome every problem in your life. There's nothing you can't do with God. There's nothing good, there's nothing right that you can't do if God will help you. And God will help you. God will help you. Sometimes people just think, well, God wouldn't help me. God will help you. What's another thing you do besides sometimes we run like Jonah did? Sometimes we just fall apart like Elisha's servant. What else, Sister Jane?
Murmur and complain.
We like to talk about our problems, don't we? Sometimes we just want to just talk about our problems. We don't do anything about it. We just talk about them. Talk about them. Talk. Do you ever get sick of hearing some people's problems? You just get tired of it. You know why? Because they're not facing the problem. They're not fixing the problem. They're not doing anything about the problem. They're stuck in that ditch of murmuring and complaining. That's all they do is just murmur and complain. All you ever hear is murmuring and complaining. You know, that's one reaction that people have to problems they face is just murmur and complain. The children of Israel murmured and complained. They got in a lot of trouble, didn't they? God punished them severely. You and I, as the people of God, we better be careful about murmuring and complaining. What God has given us is all that we need. And we can fix the problems we have if we'll just look to God for the strength and grace we need. Don't be murmuring and complaining. What's one other thing that we do sometimes when we face problems?
Shun them.
Okay, that to me, that's the same thing as running away from them. Sometimes we take the ostrich approach. That's what Brother Jerry's talking about. Instead of running and fleeing, sometimes we take the ostrich approach. What do you think I mean by the ostrich approach to facing problems?
Stick your head in the sand.
Did you know that? I know a lot of people that are like that. They will ignore problems. They'll stick their head in the sand. They'll just pretend like it's not happening. Have you ever seen children play hide and seek? And they'll sit somewhere there with their eyes closed and peek out like, my eyes are closed and I can't see you. You can't see me. And there's a lot of people of God like that, that they won't look at problems. They won't really try to address problems. They take the ostrich, just ignore it. Just forget about it. Don't think about it. Out of sight, out of mind, out of my life, just forget about the problems. I'll tell you, brethren, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Don't face the problems. Hide from them. Shun them. Ignore them. Maybe they'll go away. Brethren, we've got so many problems today because people are taking that ostrich approach to problems. Problems exist, and we better try to do something about them. You might say, I can't do anything. All I've got is five loaves. Listen, with five loaves, two fishes, and God's help, you can feed a multitude of people. With God's help, you can face and fix the problems. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that mine's going about 10 different directions right now. I want you to think of somebody in the Bible that you know of. What I've been trying to talk about so far is how we often underestimate our ability without God's help. You follow me? We underestimate our ability without God's help. I want you to go to the other end of the spectrum. And have any of you ever overestimated your ability without God's help? Have any of you ever overestimated your ability without God's help? That's what David did. I want to give him as a good one. Goliath. What did Goliath think he could do to that little boy David? What did he think? Thought he could destroy him, didn't he? I want you to turn in your Bibles and look at that. Back up in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to look at a good and a bad example here. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, you have an example of an individual that overestimated his ability without God. And then you have an example of... Now, while you're turning there, I forgot one point I wanted to make. Everybody listen to this while you're turning there. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we're going. But one thing I forgot about, do all of you remember the Shunammite woman? You remember what she did for Elijah? What did she do for Elijah?
She took the only bread and the only meal that she had.
Okay, wait a minute. I get those mixed up too. It was the widow of Zarephath that took the only meal,
yeah,
and the bread. And that's a good example. What was that woman saying? All I've got is just a little meal and a little oil. I can't do anything. Wasn't she saying basically the same thing as those did over there? That was the widow of Zarephath. She said, that's all I've got. What did she forget? With God's help, he can take that and make it multiply. And that's what God did with the widow of Zarephath. But there was the Shunammite woman. She had a husband, and she didn't have a child. And I believe it was Elijah. I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. It was probably Elisha that came to the Shunammite woman's house. And every time he'd go by that way preaching, he would stop at her house. She probably was a good cook. And finally that Shunammite woman said, let's build the man of God a little room on the side of the house. So her husband got out there and built that little room on the side of the house, and they put some things in that room, and every time that Elisha went by there, he'd stay in that little room and just had good fellowship with them. And finally he said to the Shunammite woman, is there anything you want? She said, yes. I want a child, but I can't have a child. Did she have an insurmountable problem? Did she have a problem that she couldn't fix? You know what Elisha told her? He said, this year, about this time, you're going to have a baby. And she said, don't lie to me. Don't tell me that. That can't happen. What happened? She had a baby. Elisha kept coming. That baby got grown. He's a grown man, still the Shunammite woman's son. And he's out in the field working one day with his daddy. And he goes running to his daddy and he says, my head. He had a horrible headache. Now, I want to ask you, Daddy, Wendell, big Wendell, little Wendell comes to you crying with his head, what are you going to say? Go to mama. That was perfect, brother. That was perfect. That was perfect. Because do you know what the Shunammite's husband did? When the child came running, and this is typical, the child came running to the daddy with a problem and said, "My head, my head." And he was dying, by the way. He was literally dying. And the daddy said, "Take that boy to his mama. Send him away." Isn't that what we do sometimes? What did those apostles do over there in Matthew chapter 14? What did they say to do with all those people who were hungry that they couldn't feed? What did he say do? Send them away. Did you know there are many people that have problems and that's all we're doing is just sending them away? We have all these different ways we deal with problems, but none of them are right unless we're fixing the problem. Unless we're trying to fix the problem, we're not doing what God would have us to do. If we're ignoring it, if we're running from it, if we're falling apart, if we're murmuring and complaining, no matter what else we're doing other than trying to fix the problem, we're wrong because we underestimate what? What do we underestimate? Really? What do we say, Brother David?
The power of God.
That's right. We don't underestimate our power. We underestimate the power of God. That's what we really underestimate. Is the power of God. The power of God. Now we'll go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. I want you to listen to 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. Everybody look at this. We've been talking about underestimating our ability without God's help. Underestimating our ability with God's help. And now we're going to talk about overestimating our ability without God's help. If you got up this morning and came to church, listen carefully. If you got up this morning and came to church and you did not pray, you know what you did? You overestimated your ability without God's help. If you get up in the morning and you start to work without praying, you know what you're doing? You're overestimating your ability without God's help. Every day that you begin the day, and if any time during the day you're facing problems and you're not asking God for help, you are overestimating your ability without God's help. That's what Goliath did. Look now at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 42, and when the Philistine looked out, this is the giant Goliath. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" Oh, by the way, what did David have? There you are. Thank you, Brother Neil. Can't you just hear David? Let's pretend like David's one of the apostles. What are you going to say if you're David? What are you going to say? "All I got is five smooth stones and a sling. I can't go out there and face Goliath." That's what the apostle said, isn't it? "All we've got is five loaves and 2 fish. We can't do anything." Do you see the difference? Do you see the contrast, the specific contrast between the apostles in Matthew 14 and David right here as he faces this giant? Now, do you see how Goliath is overestimating his power? Verse 43, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David, who was Goliath depending on? What was he depending on? His strength, his power, himself. Everybody see that? He even had a man in front of him that all he did was just carry a shield. Had on armor. Had a big sword. Verse 45, then he said, David, you see the man that overestimated his ability without God's help? How many of you have ever fallen just like Goliath, just fallen? Listen, brethren, I've fallen flat on my face many times in my life. And I fell because I overestimated my ability without God's help. We get on one end of the spectrum or the other. Overestimate what we can do without God's help, or underestimate what we can do with God's help. Here's what David said. I want you to listen. Now, this is what we need to do. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee." He didn't even say, "I come to be with thee with five smooth stones and a sling," did he? He didn't even talk about the little thing he had. He said, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Why does God bless people like David? Why does God bless people who have so little to do so much? Thank you, Sister Darcell. Sister Darcell said it. "That all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven." "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." All through the Word of God, there are people that never were able to face their problems. I think that in this congregation, and I think that throughout Christianity, there are many people that run from their problems. There are people that do everything we've talked about, except there are very few people who do what we ought to be doing. And that's what David did. Go to God, ask God for help. Look to Him for the strength and grace you need. Remember, the battle is not yours but the Lord's. Remember, I can do all things that through Christ which strengtheneth me. Remember that Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Remember that what Paul said to the Philippians, he says, "My God," and I'm saying this to every one of you this morning, "My God shall supply" what? "All your need." My God shall supply all your need. And when you let me say one other thing. When you do feed the 5,000, when you do preach like Isaiah did, when you do overcome whatever problem you have, let me tell you something. You better do what Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And the people began to say, "Paul, you're the man we depend on. Paul, you're the man we're behind." You know what he said? Let me tell you something. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but what did he say? But God gave the increase." The only reason the church at Corinth was blessed was because of what God had done. Now, do we have something to do? We are, that same chapter says, we are laborers together with God. Let me just close with that. We're laborers together with God. There are things we can do. We have our 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We have something that we can do, but we need to depend on God and go forward and face our problems. May God help us to do that, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen.